Good morning and welcome to this worship service on this Memorial Day weekend and the last Sunday in the season we call Easter. Next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. So, Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
Certainly. Our help is in the name of God, creator of heaven and earth. Come, let us worship our God together. Join me in the prayer of invocation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. God of all nations and all peoples, on this Memorial Day weekend, we give you thanks for our beloved homeland, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all of your children were created by you to share in equality. Help us to make good on our pledges. Have no patience with arrogant declarations unsupported by appropriate institutions and actions. What we have preached, demand that we practice, diligent in labor and faithful in duty. May we continue to build in this place a bulwark for freedom, a stronghold for justice through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear us as we pray his words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is Psalm 97, can be found on page 816 in your notes. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved. The Lord will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it.
Then shall all the trees of the woods sing for joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Before we receive our morning's offerings, there are some announcements that I would like to make. First of all, please note this. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in June, the deacons voted to return to our summer hour of 9:30. All right, so those of you listening out on Zoom, 9:30 will be the beginning of the worship service right through the end of August, and then the first Sunday in September, we will resume coming here at 10 o'clock, just so you know. I have a correction I need to make. Lorna came to me and said I announced her being in church, and I used her wrong name. I'm so sorry. Lorna Donay. So we welcome you back, Lorna. Thank you very much for correcting me on that. Sherilyn, do you want to come up, or does your mother want to come up to talk about VBS or not? Yeah, let's come to a microphone, though, okay? Because this is important stuff about weird animals.
We are planning to do a Weird Animals VBS in July. It'll be July 12th, 13th, and 14th from 6 p.m. to 8:30. The registration is open and will be open through Friday of this week. So if you have any children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, neighbors, friends who might be interested in joining us, there are registration forms in the back, as well as at the office and available on the church website. It will be a really fun time with games and music and Bible stories and some other fun activities. So I would encourage you, if you know any children who might be interested, it would be for children in grades kindergarten through sixth grade. And then we also, for VBS, will be looking for volunteers. There's information in the back, again, on opportunities, but we're looking for people who would be willing to help lead and assist with some of the stations that the kids will rotate through, as well as just helping with setup and cleanup of the event. So if you have any questions or want more information, feel free to contact me. My information is in the flyer in the bulletin. And then the other thing I will announce is if anyone has kids or grandkids that are involved with the Explorers Youth Group, we are going to be having a cookout on Sunday, June 12th. Across the street in the CE building lawn at 12 o'clock. So if any of those children are interested in attending, we're opening it up to families as well. They can contact me. Thank you.
Excellent, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? No, hearing none, then let us remember how much God truly has blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our offerings. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you would bless these our gifts, which we bring here today to honor you. We pray that these gifts might be used to do your will, not only in this church and in this community, but around the world. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. When I chose the hymns for this particular Sunday, of course, I threw as many patriotic hymns as I could in, and that left me with no song to sing at the piano. But I thought the most patriotic hymn has to be the national anthem, and I wanted to do it today, and I looked it up, and there's actually on file, if you check it out, Francis Scott Key wrote it, and he actually wrote four verses to it. And if you read through them, I found the first, of course, that we always hear the first verse, and the last verse the most appropriate. So I'd like to do that for you, and I'm going to sing the last verse first. Does that make sense? I'm going to sing the last verse first, and then the first verse last. So let me sing the last verse, which will be the first verse. And then on the final verse that you all know, if you'd like to put your hand over your heart, or if you'd like to stand, by all means, feel free to do that if you'd like to. Oh, thus be it ever when free men stand between their loved home and our war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heavens' rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God we do trust. And the star-spangled so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, and the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, yea, through the night, that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave of the land and of the free and the
so.
Thank you, Dave. That wasn't confusing at all. This is the time we share our celebrations. We had a wonderful celebration for the life and gifts of Sue Winship here yesterday, and the family wanted to express its thankfulness for all that everyone did for her during those final days of her life. So they were very, very grateful. I'd like to also celebrate on this Memorial Day our nation. We are torn apart in many ways, but the beauty of what was seen by our forebears still lives, and we need to continue to fight for that kind of unity as a nation. Thank you for that. I would like to also honor all of the veterans we have. Are there any veterans here in the church today? Okay, yeah. Unfortunately, the World War II veterans are departing from us one by one. I know Bill Homer was one of the last ones, I think, to stand when I asked that question. But I always think of the veterans on this particular Sunday. And if there's anyone out there on Zoom, please let us express our thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Are there any other celebrations anyone wants to mention? Yes. Okay, we got a couple. Oh, Cheryl.
I'd just like to celebrate that you all stood up and sang that song because it's not an easy song to sing. I put it in the lowest key possible.
I noticed that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Little League. Oh, good for them. It's so much fun to have your grandchildren, your children in sports at this time of the year. Yeah, thank you for that, Cheryl. Any other celebrations? I see one out there. Oh, yes. All right. Stand up. We need to congratulate you for that. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. Are there any other high school graduates here? Oh, Bob, you're a high school graduate? No. Just kidding. Are there any other high school graduates here today that we can honor? No, okay. Bob, you're on. From college, okay, excellent. She's a graduate of Boston College. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Bob. Any other celebrations? Wow. Congratulations, Charlie. Good going, Charlie. You better watch out. The Red Sox scouts will be in the bleachers one of these days. We need some help in some of those scores, don't we? Yeah. That's correct. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. To my knowledge, there's no one hospitalized. There are several people at home, Ed Dyer being one. Chad and Kim Winship could not be here for Chad's mother's funeral yesterday because of COVID. They are both suffering from COVID. I understand he's doing a little better, but Kim is really still struggling along. Also, Barbara Billsborough, one of our deacons, has been struck with COVID, and she's doing a little bit better, she tells me, but she was really very ill for a long while there. We also continue to pray for all of these people who have ongoing issues. We pray for Jen, that's Jen DeSalvio, for Lee, that's Tyson Bull's sister, for Marjorie, Bob Avoyan's sister, for Marilyn, for Diane Dunbar, that's Mike Dunbar's mom, for Janet, for Bonnie, and for Kathy Wade. And those who are in the nursing home and assisted living at this time, to my knowledge, Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, and Nancy Kelly, who is Kathy Trowbridge's mom. We also continue to pray every month for our mission, which for this month is New Hope. And so we pray that we will be instrumental in helping them out in their ministry. I also want to wish sympathy to the Goss family on the death of Rich's brother, Tom, Not, that's not his twin, but this is an older brother. He passed away a while ago, I guess, and they are now in New York for a memorial service for him. And then we pray for all of those who struggle with addictions, and we pray for all of the veterans and other people who have given their lives to promote peace and democracy in the world. And we pray for our nation and the well-being of the world in these trying times, and especially let us pray for peace, particularly in Ukraine. So please be with me. Oh, for the victims of the shooting, yes, absolutely. For all the children who lost their lives and the two teachers, yes, absolutely. Thank you for the reminder. How can we forget it so quickly, huh? Yeah. Let us pray. Loving God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for peace. Through our appreciative remembrance of persons known and unknown, may we resolve to work for a world that no longer tolerates making casualties of your children. This day we confess our longing for a future in which parents can raise children with confidence that the rumblings of war or the difficulties of being in a school when faced by an armed man will be replaced by the triumphant song of life. To the people in places where conflicts now smolder or rage, convey your comfort and hope, and turn the energy that goes into sustaining a war toward the task of making peace. We pray for peace in our own nation. We still remain in a serious conflict with a deadly virus and how to respond best to it. Once again, we are faced with a shooting of a military rifle snuffing out the lives of 19 children and two teachers. Violence thrives in many forms of abuse. Racial and other interpersonal tensions abound as we fall prey to our prejudices and succumb to stereotyping. The gap between rich and poor widens into a chasm in our current economic situation. Our society's refugees, the homeless, populate streets and shelters. Drugs deal death throughout our population, rich and poor alike. Fill us with the dedication to make changes, to stand with your spirit of reconciliation and renewal, to risk following Christ as witnesses to your will and ways. We pray for peace within families and within ourselves, where home is more a battleground than a haven, where the fabric of family life is frayed, where abuse goes unconfronted. Enter in, O God, with your power of healing. And also do come into the interior places of our life, where struggles abound and where tangled emotions cause the battle fatigue we know as stress. Help us to use a spiritual eraser on our list of personal enemies and to build friendships as an act of faith. We pray for all of those in need of your presence and those whose names we have already mentioned and those whose names we may feel free to lift into your presence here and at our homes. Let us be in a moment of silence. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, teacher of the ways of peace. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is from the last chapter of the last book in the Christian Bible. It is called the Revelation to John. The entire book is one single ongoing revelation leading believers to a better understanding of the whole biblical message of redemption. The angel in the Bible is always meant to be seen as a messenger. Here is a part of the final message to us as believers. I'll be reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Please hear these words. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord of God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Last week, in case you weren't here, like some of us were not, I confessed to you something that you may not have noticed, that I am aging and that I am shrinking. And I didn't dare wear this robe because I was tripping all over its hem. So I'd like to thank the kind efforts of Peggy Robinson. I can wear it again, as you can see. She took off 5 inches. I don't think I shrunk 5 inches, but you never know. So I don't ordinarily think about that. But aging, it happens to all of us, doesn't it? If we are lucky, that is. But what do we do about it? I think the best and the only thing we can do about it is laugh about it. The most pivotal person in my life in regard to my faith and many other things was my mother. You hear me speak about her often. She had a very pure and even a bit of a sophisticated faith that she passed on to me by talking the talk and walking the walk of a Christian. And one of the things she loved was Reader's Digest. Remember Reader's Digest? Right after World War II, Reader's Digest offered a lifetime subscription to it. A lifetime subscription. And she didn't have enough money to do that, but she got it every single year and gave it to me on my birthday as well, every single year. And I always love the various anecdotes. I look to those anecdotes all the time, as you probably recognize them in some of my sermons. Life in these United States, military humor, laughter, the best medicine, and all the other things that Reader's Digest gave to us. For example, one woman told about her 81-year-old mother who really thought she looked young, and she just loved the fact that she looked a lot younger than all of her friends. And one summer day, her mother went into a drugstore, and they were talking about the heat, and she said to the clerk, "Going to be 97 today," and he reached across and shook her hand and said, "Oh, happy birthday." She took to her bed for 2 weeks. And then there's another interesting story. Another woman had a neighbor who was in her late 40s, and she refused to wear her bifocals. Do you remember those days when we all have to deal with bifocals? You young folk don't have to face that yet. We know that. But she thought it made her look older, so she didn't want to wear her bifocals. And then when her neighbor stopped by one day, she had the glasses on. She said, "Oh, how long have you been wearing those?" And she said, Since yesterday, I was baking some Toll House cookies and I picked up the fly swatter and killed 4 chocolate chips. God has a way of humbling us, doesn't God? And then there was a 96-year-old man on admission to a nursing home, and he was interviewed by a social worker, and the alert 96-year-old man was asked, "Did you have a happy childhood?" To which he said, "So far, so good." That's the kind of spirit we need when we are aging. And our concept, believe it or not, is changing of aging. Remember Jack LaLanne? Do you remember that name? He was one of the first health gurus, health and fitness gurus. Do you know how he celebrated his 70th birthday? He celebrated his birthday by towing 70 boats containing 70 people for a mile across Long Beach Harbor. But that's not all. He did it by holding the rope in his teeth, and he was handcuffed and wearing leg shackles. I did not try anything like that on my 70th birthday. But our concept of aging is changing. In the early 1960s, there was a group of middle-aged people, and they were being asked their opinions on the various life stages. 20 years later, in the 1980s, the study was repeated, and an amazing change had occurred. Consensus had dropped regarding every item of the questionnaire. In the first study, for example, a young person was said to be a person between 18 and 22. 18 and 22. In the repeat study, a young person was anywhere from 18 to 40. So that's interesting. What's extraordinary about this, says the authors of this study, is that in the public mind, youth appears to have expanded from a period lasting roughly 4 years to a period of about 22 years. And that's pretty interesting. And here we are in the news, that people are proving that they are most productive, frankly, in those years after they retire, in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and even older. Nevertheless, my mother always said it was Betty Davis who first said it, and I don't know if this is true or not, but she always said, "Growing old ain't for sissies." I'm sure you've all heard that quote. We only have to look as far as our president. I don't care if you don't like what he's doing. I don't care if you don't like his politics, but you have to admit that he is tackling the arguably toughest job in the world in his late 70s. God bless him. Now, I don't want to be a Pollyanna. We have to deal with issues such as dementia, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and so many other things that can come into our frail bodies. But life should never be measured in its length. We really should measure it in who we are on the inside, because that's what really counts. What do we value? That's what really counts. How are we as citizens of this community? How are we as citizens of the world? How are we in relation to our own families? I have always liked the writings of Mark Twain. You may know his name was Samuel Clemens, and he was not a very happy man. In fact, he was a terrible, crusty cynic. In later years, he became even worse. And Twain was married to a woman by the name of Olivia, and she was a devout Christian. She had a very deep faith. When they first married, they read a chapter from the Bible every day and had grace at every meal. But that was soon abandoned, primarily due to Twain's disinterest. He had little, if any, faith in anything. Olivia gave up some of her religious convictions, too, as time went by. She traveled across Europe with her husband and listened to all the debates between his intellectual friends who declared that God was dead and that it was silly to be worshiping God. And then when sorrow struck their home, I've read that three of their children died. Twain said to his wife, "Livy, if it comforts you to lean on your Christian faith, do so." And she returned, "I can't. I haven't any anymore." How sad is that? To give up your faith. Very sad to have no resources on which to draw in times of sorrow. The whole world may have crowned Mark Twain a success, but inwardly, as a human being, he was kind of a failure. And that failure became more pronounced the older he got. Ponce de Leon set out in 1513 to find the legendary Fountain of Youth. His journey brought him to the part of our country known today as Florida, and he was the one who named it that because of all the beautiful flowers that he saw. Ponce de Leon never found the Fountain of Youth, but people still search for it today. Can you believe all of the infomercials about everything that's going to make us younger and make us look? I don't care if I look young or look old. I am who I am. Accept me as I am. But there's so much of that going on. No one wants to give up their youth, if you will. We might find its pages for the true fountain of eternal youth if we can go further. Maybe we should be looking in the Bible for those words and not to infomercials. We might just find within the Bible the pages of the fountain of eternal youth. We can read such words as these from Jesus to the woman at the well. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Those words from the book of Revelation that came a little bit later on from what Wayne read. "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." The message of the gospel has always been and always will be, come. Jesus said it to his disciples, "Come, follow me." Now we're in the last chapter of the last book of the New Testament, and we are told that eternal life is ours. And we don't have to do anything for it. It is a gift. All we have to do is come. Come in faith before God and Jesus Christ. On this Memorial Day weekend, we are reminded of all the people who have gone before us. Yesterday, we remembered one of our own church family, Sue Winship. As the community of North Attleboro, we honored the memory of all of the veterans and other people who have given their lives in defense of our country and our freedoms. And many families make that once a year trip to the cemetery to place plants and flowers on their loved ones' graves. No matter if we are young or old, the invitation is extended to all of us. No matter if we are saints or sinners, it is the same. It is a gift because we believe that Jesus Christ has already paid the price for us. All we have to do is come. Come and receive what God freely gives to us. Amen.
Our final hymn is 717, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. We're going to sing the first three verses.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage and hold fast to that which is good. Honor all people, love and serve God. May God's peace and blessings be with you all. Amen. Thank you.